Do you believe God is faithful, that he will do what he says? I'm not saying he'll do what you think he says, but what he says, rightly divided in his word. Do you believe that? We walk by faith, not by sight. We need to see this. Abraham walked by faith, as we see. He died, Hebrews chapter 11, in faith.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Then Abraham breathed his last and died. And you know, Greg, we're going to see that it isn't over by any means.
You know, that's right, Dave. We're going to see that the plan of God advances. So would you turn in your Bibles with us to Genesis chapter 25 as we continue our look at verses 1 to 18.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
So as we begin our look at chapter 25, notice that Abraham is blessed with more children as God fulfills his promise. Verse 1, now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and she bore to him Zimran and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. And Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim and Lethshurim and Lehumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldaah. All these were the sons of Keturah. Now you might say, why does God place this in this position? You know, now, although it is grammatically possible for a case to be made that possibly Abraham had taken Keturah as a wife while Sarah was living, the context really mitigates against that. I believe that Abraham, after Sarah died, then took Keturah as his wife. I think the context seems to apply that. Now, there are some contradictory issues that we have to look at here, because you're saying Abraham finished well, and wait a second, he's taken another wife, we got this word concubines, what's going on here? How can he be finishing well in this context? I think we're going to have to look at a couple things. We know that Abraham, as we will see, Hebrews 11, died in faith. That he did trust the Lord, that he was one of those in the hall of fame of faith. So here, you say, well, how could he be a godly man when he had multiple wives at the same time? And you look down at verse 5. Now Abraham gave all to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, plural. Uh-oh. What do we do with that? Abraham gave gifts while he was still living and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. So we got to deal with this word concubine. What's going on here? And plural. Now, first of all, we need to understand what a concubine was in the time of Abraham. And I'm going to be very general for the sake of the audience here with the kids. But culturally speaking, a concubine was considered to be a wife. And you'll see, even with Hagar, he took Hagar as his wife. Here he takes Keturah as his wife. And we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 132, Keturah is called Abraham's concubine. And during the patriarchal era, often the terms were interchangeable, but yet there was those who were wives specifically, and concubines were on a slightly lower level, but they were considered to be wives. To have relations apart from your wife was still wrong and adultery, but yet there were this issue of concubines. So here we see Abraham, verse 1, took another wife whose name was Keturah. So God calls her a wife, and she's also called a concubine. Okay, so with that in mind, we know that God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman. We see that in Genesis. Very clearly, Genesis. Yet we see in the Old Testament situations where there were multiple wives. I believe we'll see it more so when we get to the issue of Jacob. We're going to see that God allowed, but yet did not approve. And we'll see in every situation where there were multiple wives, there was trouble. You see, when you disobey God, whether you understand it or not, there's trouble. And there was less revelation back at this time, and we're going to talk about that. But we saw earlier the Hagar incident, which God did not approve of. Galatians chapter 4, she was of the flesh. It was a wrong decision to listen to the voice of his wife to try to get an heir through Sarah's handmaid Hagar. That was wrong. Even though it was the culturally accepted way to have an heir at that time if you were barren. And so here it seems as though after Sarah has died, he takes another wife named Keturah. So what do we do with verse 5? The sons of his concubines, plural. Did Abraham have a ton of wives hanging out? I think based on scripture, he had Sarah as his wife. He had the sinful situation with Hagar, she would be considered one of those concubines. And Keturah obviously is called a concubine in 1 Chronicles 1. I believe it's speaking of Hagar and Keturah. I believe that's who he's talking about, the sons of those two women. So here, towards the end of Abraham's life, we had earlier the Hagar incident, but Abraham has been faithful to his wife Sarah, and she has died, and now he marries Keturah. And with this in mind, we see that he rightly takes another wife. And I don't believe he's sinning at this point at all, based on how God shares this. He sinned before when he listened to the voice of his wife when it was a sinful suggestion, but here it appears in context, Sarah has died and he takes another wife. Now at this point we see verse 2, and she bore to him Zimram and Jokshan and Medan and Midian and Ishbak and Shua. So we have these sons that are born to Abraham, and obviously he has been miraculously rejuvenated. That happened back with the situation with Isaac. Remember, he was dead before concerning the ability to bear children, but God rejuvenated him, and obviously that's the case. And so we have Moses mentioned within this now some of the children and some of the descendants of them, but not every single one. Look at verse 3. And Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan. That would be important for the Israelites. You'll remember the queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, right? And the sons of Dedan were Asherim. That's not Assyrian. Some think that it isn't. And the Letsherim and the Leumerim. And the sons of Midian. That's important. Midian. Who did Moses marry? He married a Midianite, didn't he? They came from Abraham, didn't they, ultimately? Through Keturah, didn't they? Okay? Sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. These were the sons of Keturah. So we have nations coming from two of these six sons, Jokshan and Midian, right? We have nations coming from them. Why would we have this stated here? This is one of the promises yet we haven't seen fulfilled, have we? God promised, obviously, that from him all the nations would be blessed, his seed. God promised that he would have descendants as much as the sand of the seashore, the stars of the sky. God promised him that he would have the land, that his descendants would have it. God also promised that nations would be made plural, not a nation only. Not only would Israel come from Abraham, but nations would come from him. Look back at Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. I think Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is pointing out the reality that God is faithful to his promises, even miraculously. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, "And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations or peoples of you, and kings shall come forth from you." Not only would the nation of Israel from which the Messiah would come from Abraham, but there would be other nations which would come from Abraham. And the ones spoken of here are most of those Arab tribes that we see. They are those who, as we will see, are to the east of Israel. So we see God is faithful to his promise, the nations coming from him. And we see the origin of some of these nations, even how it would relate to Israel at that time who was going to go into the land. God had fulfilled his promises completely, and he had brought forth from his seed Isaac, from whom his descendants would come, Jesus Christ. He has made him exceedingly fruitful, and that's why I believe he's sharing this. He is faithful to his promises. We need to know that. Israel was going to go into the land. God had promised to give it to them, but by sight it looked impossible. There were giants in the land. It was impossible to do what God said by sight, but God had promised it to them. They needed to know that God keeps his promises. And the same thing for us. We walk by faith, not by sight. When we analyze our circumstances of our lives, it's a losing battle. We got to trust the Lord and believe in what he has said. We need to recognize he is faithful. He is faithful. I shared this back in chapter 21, but I want to review it again. We serve a faithful God, and He is faithful to His promises. And I want to share some passages that remind us of this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. And as you're turning there, you can remember back in chapter 9 of Genesis that God put His bow in the sky to show He is faithful to His word, that He would never, ever again flood the entire earth as He had done. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore, the Lord your God, He is God. We need to know that, don't we? The faithful God. We serve a faithful God who keeps His covenant and loving kindness to thousands of generations and to those who love Him and keep His commandments. Skip up to Deuteronomy 32. This is the Song of Moses, verses 3 and 4. You see, in that little statement back in our Genesis chapter, we see God's faithfulness, that nations would come from Him. A little statement with a little explanation of a few sons which would make these nations. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Ascribe greatness to Him. The rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. A God of faithfulness. Faithfulness. He does what He says. Psalm 36, let's take a look at a few psalms. Psalm 36, verse 5, and I'll read this one, then we'll turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 36, verse 5, Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches the skies. Remember we sang, Be exalted, O God. Thy faithfulness reaches the skies. It is beyond us. Psalm 89, let's read this together, verse 1. A maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. And this is what we should be doing when we come together. By the way, when we come to church, we don't come just to sing four songs and then listen to a sermon and go out and eat lunch. We come to sing to the Lord together, to give Him praise, honor, and glory, and to hear His word that His excellencies would be proclaimed and that we would respond in faith, giving Him glory. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known Thy faithfulness with my mouth. I like this Ethan the Ezrahite, right? For I have said loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens Thou wilt establish Thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens will praise Thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. We've assembled today to declare His faithfulness. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, awesome above all those who are around Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like Thee? O mighty Lord, Thy faithfulness also surrounds Thee. You know, I was talking to someone who was sharing, you know, sometimes they get a little discouraged. When the minute I say, let's pray, all of a sudden you hear a bunch of Bibles slamming shut, zippers going, papers rattling. We're here to worship the living God. We're here to declare His excellencies. It should be a time of holiness and reverence and awe for Him. And young kids are by nature not that way. And we need to train them how to respect and honor the Lord as we come together as a body. I'd encourage you to be talking to your kids, praying with them before we come here. We are coming to worship the Lord. I want you to pay attention. Ask God to help you obey mommy and daddy and to be godly, because we're worshiping the God of the universe together. Here we see singing of the loving kindness and His faithfulness. Psalm 91, verse 4, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you shall seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. God is faithful. He protects us. Psalm 92, verse 1, a psalm for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to Thy name, O Most High, to declare Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness by night. It's good to do that. It's good to declare His faithfulness. God is faithful. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's talking about worship. That's talking about coming before his presence in prayer and together. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. And we're all probably very familiar with Lamentations chapter 3 in the midst of Israel's temporal discipline and destruction as they went off to captivity and Jerusalem was destroyed. Jeremiah laments over that, but yet remembers and recalls to mind the faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3:22, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. A couple New Testament passages to remind us of. Twice to the Corinthians, Paul says, God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, 2 Corinthians 1:18. God is faithful. Paul extols his faithfulness in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's turn there, 1 Thessalonians 5. Can you see him trying to make a point? God is faithful. God's word clearly relays it over and over and over again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Christian life and race does not rely on you. It depends on a faithful God. And if you're willing to trust him, you will endure to the end. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Just up another book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, well aware of the opposition to the gospel and the faith going out, asks for prayer. He asks in this way. He says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. Not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And just put this in your memory bank, 2 Timothy 2, if we are faithless, verse 13, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Hebrews chapter 10, 23, for he who promised is faithful. Sarah considered him faithful who had promised, Hebrews 11. Entrust your souls to a faithful creator in doing what is right in the midst of persecution, 1 Peter 4:19. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when the Lord comes again, he is one on a white horse as he comes in glory. Revelation 19, he who sat on it was called faithful and true. See, God's a faithful God. And we may read through these things really quickly, but in the beginning of our passage, this reminds us of the faithfulness of God to his promise to Abraham before he died. He was faithful. We see that God's word is faithful. 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon dedicates the temple, he says, not one word has failed of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses. Not one word has failed. Not one has failed. Do you believe God is faithful? That he will do what he says? Now, I'm not saying he'll do what you think he says, but what he says, rightly divided in his word. Do you believe that? We walk by faith, not by sight. We need to see this. Abraham walked by faith, as we see. He died, Hebrews chapter 11, in faith. So back to our passage. We see that the Lord said, I would make him exceedingly fruitful, and nations would come from him, and absolutely this is what happened. Now at this point, as Abraham is about to die, he prepares the way for Isaac, verse 5. Chapter 25. Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. Here we have, now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Again, he is believing and acting upon the covenant promises that Isaac, through him, his descendants would be named. and he gave everything to Isaac. Now you think that's being kind of a little mean. What about all his stepbrothers? What about all his stepbrothers? He's not very kind to Isaac. No, Abraham was kind. Verse 6, he was not ungracious. But to the sons of his concubines, that would be Hagar, obviously, and Keturah, what we just read, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living. Abraham's a righteous man. He's a good man. And he took care of them. But he understood the promise that it would be through Isaac. And he sent these other sons away from his son Isaac. That's what we see, end of verse 6. And sent them away from his son. Very specific, from his son. Eastward to the land of the east. Again, Abraham is acting upon the promises that it would be through Isaac his descendants are named. And then we come to his death. Notice in verse 7. And these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. And Abraham breathed his last and died. As I read that, every breath God gives us, when we stop breathing, we're dead, right? He breathed his last and he died at a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And he was gathered to his people. Then his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, facing Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased for the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. A lot of details given about where he was buried. Remember we saw back when Sarah was buried that Abraham by faith had her buried in the land. He purchased a piece of the promise, although he was a sojourner. So here we see that Abraham lived a fruitful and long life, 175 years. Remember, before the flood, lifespans were very long. After the flood, they decreased. Moses says in the Psalms that even 70 years is a lot, if you're strong. So here we see that he breathed his last at a ripe old age. And that word ripe is really the Hebrew word for good. At a good old age. At a good old age. And brothers and sisters, let us not forget that because of the fall, we die. We die. Physical death entered into the world when Adam and Eve sinned. Now, first of all, they sinned and they spiritually died. When they disobeyed God's commandment, they were separated from God as evidenced by their blaming God and hiding from Him and being ashamed. But God also made it clear because of what had been done that physical death would be the end of man's physical life. He would go back to the dust because from dust he was created.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. You know, Greg, as we complete our look at the life of Abraham, I'm fascinated at how God's plan continues to unfold as the baton is passed to his son Isaac.
That's right, Dave. The passages I shared described our Christian lives through the imagery of a race, God's plan for each of us as we learn to walk by faith. We saw this in the life of Abraham, who is our paradigm of faith. But this race is not just an individual marathon, it's a relay. When Abraham crossed his finish line, he also passed the baton to his son Isaac, who would then pass it on at the end of his life. God's plan continues to advance through the lives of believers like you and me, and will culminate with the return of Jesus Christ to rule on this earth. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Brothers and sisters, don't squander this life. Saturate yourselves with the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to develop your walk of faith using Abraham as a model of what it looks like in the lives of those who simply believe God. Like Abraham, make your objective to finish your life well.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.